Right, let's try that again with the microphone actually plugged in this time. Reese Rambles, episode number 54. Thankfully, I didn't record the entire episode, just a bit of the intro before I noticed that the old meter wasn't bouncing up and down as expected at the bottom of the screen. But yes, here we are. Welcome once more to the weekend and to Reese Rambles, the official podcast of the Control Alt Reese YouTube channel. I'm Reese, and yes, I will be here for the next half an hour, amusing and entertaining you and, well, hopefully, anyway, with some interesting stuff, topics to talk about, things that have been in the news and whatever else. And I'm going to go straight in with my first topic here, because I've had some feedback on the Rambles, and it's really, really good feedback. And it's kind of struck a chord with me, because it's something I've been thinking about for quite a while now. And it's really got me thinking about what I want to do with Reese Rambles, with this podcast. Of course, I'm into my second year now, kind of been completely directionless throughout the first year, just talking about whatever. And yeah, it's got me thinking, and I've got some ideas, which I'll talk about after I've gone over the feedback. Absolutely not bad at all. This is not a negative thing. The person who emailed me, I do very much appreciate it. And if you're listening to this on your run, shout out to Adam. So let's talk about this, because this is a really cool talking point. So let's go straight to the email. I've taken a screenshot of it here and removed all of the personally identifying information. So yeah, if you're listening, Adam, don't panic. I haven't shown your email address or anything like that. But yes, it says, it proceeds as thus. Hi, Reese. I just thought I'd send you some feedback on your podcast. Thumbs up, smiley face. Good start. I've been listening for nearly a year now and find them great to listen to whilst I go for a run in the evenings or at the weekend. I'm currently gearing up for my first half marathon. Excellent, excellent news, Adam. I am going to start doing some running training now the weather is improving. Back on the PT stuff. I had to miss last week because I had this horrific cold, but back on the PT stuff this morning as well, working on some deadlifts and stuff. And there's going to be some running as part of that program, which is excellent. In fact, I was pondering the Leicester 10K. I've gone off topic again. Anyway, likes to listen to me on his evening runs. The new retro news format is interesting and highly enjoyable, but I do find the general techie rambles a refreshing change to my other podcasts too. That's just my opinion, though. Please carry on doing whatever floats your boat. Keep up the good work. Now, I have to say, thank you ever so much for this feedback. This is great. And this is, I love the polite approach and stuff. It's always appreciated. And yes, I mean, this is exactly what I've been thinking recently about Reese Rambles. Because ultimately, I've had this obsession with trying to keep up this streak of releasing one every single week. And of course, as you'll know, if you've been listening to these for a year, I've managed to do that. I've actually managed to achieve that and keep it up. And it's something I'm very proud of. The trouble is, thinking about stuff to talk about every week, I come up with these ideas of, I'll get interested in a topic and I'll kind of start nerding out on it. Bits of Atari history and other stuff. And I think, actually, that would be a good topic for a video. And then because it's going to be, it goes on the list for upcoming videos, it's something that I think, well, I don't really want to talk about it in the podcast because, A, I don't want to give away all my amazing ideas for other people to steal. Yeah, right. I mean, it's all been covered before, hasn't it? But I don't want people mining my podcast for video ideas and stealing them from me. I want stuff to be fresh when I kind of present it as a video. I don't want people watching it and thinking, oh, well, he's already gone over this in a podcast a couple of months back. So that's kind of part of it. But I also find myself kind of falling back on the gaming news. And I have fallen into this trap just lately where over the course of the week, I'll see stories and I'll think, oh, well, that's interesting. I will add it to the list for Reese Rambles. I've got a big Google Doc where I add all of the links and the ideas and things. And yeah, I've kind of fallen into the trap of just going over them news story by news story. And I'm very, very conscious of that. And I'm glad that somebody's kind of confirmed that in my mind as well. Absolutely not complaining about it. That's not what I'm saying. But yeah, it's really got me thinking and, trying to think of some kind of topics that I can talk about in this. Because the whole point of Reese Rambles, as you'll know if you've been listening for a long time, is that I wanted to work on my speaking skills. Let's go back to the big camera for the benefit of the people watching on YouTube. And you'll notice I've slightly changed my camera setup as well. I don't know if it looks any better. Looks all right on screen. I think I'm a lot less pink. The image is a lot less cropped, and hopefully it should be a bit smoother as well, even though it's a lower frame rate, because I've tried to match everything up as far as the camera and the capture device and OBS are concerned. So hopefully it looks a bit better. Let's just move around a bit. Yeah, slight delay, but looks pretty smooth. Not jumpy, not jerky. That's good. But yes, as far as the rambles are concerned, I started this because I wanted to improve my kind of off-the-cuff speaking skills. I was always I was always very, very kind of shy and introverted as a kid. And I was just terrible at talking to people and just sort of having normal human conversations. And I'm afraid to say, I mean, if you've been watching my channel and stuff, this probably doesn't come across. I'm afraid to say that, you know, that's kind of continued into adulthood and until very, very recently as well. And I wanted to do something about it. So I thought, right, I'm going to start doing this weekly podcast. I'm not going to script anything. I'm going to just take a few notes and I want to talk off the cuff. You know, just off the top of my head about stuff. And if more people find it interesting and people tune in and they subscribe and I get like a regular listenership and viewership, then that must be a good sign that things are heading in the right direction. And actually, recently, I've been doing more podcasts. I've been doing interviews. I interviewed, of course, I talked to Clint a few months back from LGR. And my most recent video, I talked to Sean from Action Retro, which was really awesome. Really great guy. We got on really well. And yeah, I like to think that I've improved and that doing this has been a really big part of that. Less ums and ahs and repeating myself and stopping to think and all of that stuff. Or maybe not, maybe not. Maybe this is just a load of rambling nonsense. This is something I've covered before, I know, and even quite recently. But I think it does bear repeating. So I think what I'm going to do, I'm not going to drop the retro news stuff. If there is something that's happened in the previous week that I find interesting, particularly relevant to me, then of course I'll talk about it and I'll post the links in the usual places because I think people enjoy that, particularly the Atari coverage as well. I'm starting to pick up a lot of Atari fans as regular viewers and listeners, and I think it's, and I know there are other channels that kind of specialise in that, but it's kind of my thing. So, but yeah, I want to start thinking of some other topics, some kind of technical topics, so things that, you know, obviously there's kind of a hierarchy with the stuff that I do. So I've got the main channel. It's got to be polished. It's got to be scripted. It's got to be well edited. You know, it's got to sort of hit all the right notes and the right pacing and stuff to keep that retention. And you know, that's my thing. That's my main thing. I've got the second channel for stuff that's a bit less polished, stuff that I want to do a bit more. You know, I don't want to spend months, weeks and months researching stuff for the second channel. I'll just see something and think, oh, that's interesting. Let's just put a quick video together. And recording these has very much helped with that, almost definitely. There's the supporter stuff on the second channel as well. Obviously, that goes out to Patreon and stuff like that. And they're even more rough around the edges. And then, of course, we've got Reese Rambles at the bottom of the pile. And this is where everything else goes. And yeah, perhaps I can come up with some ideas. I've got a list of video ideas that's just ridiculously long. And actually, I was going down that and thinking, I could talk about some of these things on Reese Rambles. And, you know, I don't need to commit to making these big, full-blown productions about them. And you know, if in like a year or 2 years' time I run out of ideas and go back to the list and end up making a video about it, then even better, you know, even more content. So, yes, I've very much taken that feedback on board. As you'll know, all of my regulars will be aware, I am a chronic overthinker, but That was a really good one. So thank you, Adam. Thank you for emailing. I do really appreciate that. And yeah, I think it's given me the motivation that I need to kind of make a few little tweaks. No major changes. Reese Rambles will still be here in this format for the foreseeable future. But yeah, just a bit of polish and a bit more structure, I think, which I think is what this is really crying out for. And I think coming into the second year, it's time to sort of finally address that properly. And of course, big thanks, as always, to everyone else who comments and engages and gives me bits of feedback and stuff. It's all really much appreciated. But yeah, really, really struck a chord, landed at exactly the right moment and kind of aligned with what I was thinking. So yeah, I hope the run's going well, Adam. And that's... Let's get on and talk about some other stuff. So, more thoughts on Tomb Raider, of course, the remastered edition, which was released a couple of weeks ago now. I've mentioned it in the past couple of rambles. I've been playing it in the evenings, not so much in the past week. I've just not felt as compelled to pick it up. And I wanted to talk a bit more about the reasons for that. I also had some really good feedback and some comments. I don't have them to hand, so apologies to those people. But I had some comments on my previous ramble that were very much in agreement with some of my thoughts on the controls and things in that game, and I must say I've played it a bit more and it's not been great. Let's just show some footage. This isn't my footage. This is from a channel called MK Ice and Fire, with their 3.75 million subscribers. Bit of a visual aid for you there. Of course, I'll link to this if you want to go and check it out. But yeah, positives on this game, on this re-release. Of course, the graphics. I think they've done such an amazing job with the graphics. It's amazing, really, when you switch from the new improved graphics to the originals, just how much has changed. And yet playing it, it just looks right, and it feels right. I don't really want to use the word feels, because I'm going to moan about the controls again in a moment. But graphically, it just feels right. It feels like the right era. It's how you remember it looking, back in the day. I mean, 1996, I mean, that was... I'm going to try and do some quick maths here, and I'm going to fail, but it's like 30 years ago. It's like 28 years ago, isn't it? Wow, 28 years ago. Anyway, I played it on the PC with the keyboard back in the day, and I thought it was fine. I didn't really struggle with it at all. I don't really remember the controls as kind of standing out, but it was the very early days of 3D 3D platformers and game developers sort of starting to experiment with that. Of course, platform games were absolutely massive up to that point in the 80s and the early 90s. And it made sense, as things started to transition into 3D, that 3D platformers would be the next logical step. Obviously, now we know that it's a terrible idea, and people can pretty much universally... that's a broad statement, isn't it? But it's a very difficult thing to get right. Let's put it that way. Obviously, there was Mario 64, a very early example of one that very much did get the controls right, still plays very nicely today. Tomb Raider perhaps hasn't aged quite so well. But they did introduce these modern controls. And last time I talked about this, I mentioned that I'd discovered the modern controls, and that actually they seemed all right, apart from a few sort of minor issues with the camera. But this is something I've seen coming up again and again on social media and some of the reviews that I've seen popping up on the old Google News feed on my phone. People just complaining about the controls, and specifically the modern controls, which I thought was odd, because I thought they were actually much better. But having played it a bit more, I'm not sure I'm convinced now. You expect a game I think the issue is that playing it on a gamepad nowadays is our brains are kind of conditioned for third person view games to work in a particular way. You know, you expect the camera to sort of move in a certain way, and the character to kind of move in a particular way in relation to the camera. And the way that this game was designed originally was obviously to use those tank controls, as they're called, where obviously, Lara, you push forward, she goes forward, regardless of which direction the camera's pointing in, and so on. And of course, back in the day on the PC with the keyboard, that wasn't, that made sense. You press the up arrow key, she walks forwards, and even if the camera's kind of pointing off to one side or whatever. And I must say, I didn't really play it all that much on the original PlayStation, so I can't comment on how it worked on that platform. But I think it was pretty much a case of the camera kind of sorted itself out and generally did a pretty good job. But my main issue with this remaster is it's mainly the camera again. It's, the modern controls, I think they're generally an improvement. Somebody mentioned in my comments last week that swimming was a particular problem, and I totally agree on that. I think swimming is actually worse with the modern controls than it is with the original tank controls. I didn't see what the issue was with having to hold down a button to swim, and then obviously... different buttons to kind of swim up and down. And it makes getting out of water very difficult. And there's a particular part very early on where you're in this pool of water and there's like a bear running around the outside that's trying to get you. And you have to get out, you have to kind of swim to the opposite side to the bear and climb out very quickly to try and avoid it. And it's just completely impossible in the remaster. You just have to kind of, climb out and get mauled by the bear a bit. Which is a shame. It's just kind of one recent example that comes to mind. But, I really do hope they patch this and improve the controls, because I'd love to play through these three games. I think they've done such a brilliant job of kind of packaging it all up and the graphics, and it's got the achievements in it. I've had a few pop up doing random stuff that I was just kind of messing about with. I think I'm out of my way to get achievements, but always nice to do something that the developers obviously kind of considered in advance. Sorry to bang on about Tomb Raider. I will shut up about it now until there are some major improvements, but... real kind of shame that the whole experience is kind of marred by these slightly wonky controls, and it seems like something that could be fixed. So I'm holding out hope that they do fix it based on all the feedback. As I mentioned last time, there were the developer of Open Lara, which is an open source Tomb Raider engine for modern systems, was heavily involved with the development of this, and actually worked with the developers and the publishers, which is really great. It was great to see them kind of taking a long-standing and well-regarded open-source project on board, and actually officially involving them and actually paying them, I assume. I assume. I don't really know. But yeah, I've played some more of it. It's not terrible. Controls just let it down a little bit, especially some particularly tight platforming, like precision platforming bits. And it, you know, the camera will swing around somewhere completely inconvenient, and it will be impossible to swing it back. And you just kind of have to guess and end up just dying over and over again, which is not how a 3D platformer should be. Maybe the second one and the third one were better. Of course, the originals were probably better. I've never actually played them, but I imagine they would have tightened up the controls as the years went by and they kind of got more of an idea of what they were doing. But yeah, just some more thoughts on Tomb Raider just before we move on. So here's a bit of a blast from the past and something that should be quite amusing for longer term viewers of the channel, people who've been with me since the very beginning, the original Control Alt Reese channel, of course. And I am talking about one of my favourite first person shooters of all time, Dark Forces. Let's just switch to this because I've got the original live stream. This isn't actually public anymore, but I have got the original live stream saved on my channel. I'll tell you what, I'm going to link to that. If you're watching this video on YouTube or if you're listening on Spotify or one of the podcasting platforms where you get the actual show notes attached to it, I will link to this, even though it's not public anymore, if you want to go back and check it out. Because back in the very early days of my channel, I wanted to get my watch hours up. This is ultimately what this all came down to. Because on YouTube, there's a thing called the YouTube Partner Program, which allows you to monetize your videos. Now, I wasn't interested in the absolute pittance that I was going to earn in adverts on my videos, but I knew full well that that becoming part of the YouTube Partner Program would, of course, mean that YouTube would see my channel as being a lot more legitimate and push it to a lot more users, and of course with the potential for advertising on there as well. Also, being a channel that could potentially earn money for YouTube also means that the algorithm is more likely to push it, and I want my channel to be successful. I'm not one of these people who's like, I just do it for the fun of it. I don't really want people to watch. I want people to watch. I want everyone to watch my videos. I want to be bigger than Mr. Beast one day and people to all enjoy my Atari nonsense. Never going to happen, but hey, big aspirations and all that. I mean, why not? Why not think big, shoot for the moon? But anyway, yes, I wanted to get into the YouTube Partner Program because it was just the next stepping stone to kind of legitimize my YouTube channel as it was growing. And to do that, you need 1,000 subscribers, which I think I had at the time. I think I'd just broken that barrier. And you need 4,000 watch hours in the previous 12 months. And I was at like 3,000. So it still seemed like that 4,000 was miles off. So I thought I'll do some live streams because they count. If you do a two-hour live stream and, I don't know, on average 20 people watch it, you know, you've got 20 times 2, that's 40 watch hours. And that's a lot. And then, of course, you've got people coming back and watching them after the fact as well, which all adds to the thing. I've very nearly said much easier there, but I mean, streaming isn't easy, especially when you're doing long streams like this, and especially when you're not all that experienced at it. You know, there's all sorts of technical issues and things that can go wrong, as I discovered at the time. And you've got to manage the chat and you've got to talk to people and obviously you've got the technical side of it and all the rest of it. Anyway, so I was streaming Dark Forces, which is a first-person shooter made by LucasArts. And of course, it is based on Star Wars. And I was streaming this from real hardware. So I had my 486, my RM486, and I had a Roland Sound Canvas MIDI device plugged in. And the cool thing about this game is the soundtrack is absolutely epic. It's got this big orchestral soundtrack. Obviously, you've got the Star Wars, you know, opening theme and stuff. And it's all like, you know, very, very heavily kind of Star Wars-esque. I mean, it's LucasArts. It's going to be good. And of course, it plays great as well. It's a fantastic first-person shooter. I'm not even a Star Wars fan particularly, but I loved this game back in the day and I still love it now. And yeah, I had the live capture set up. I had the camera pointing at the Roland sound canvas, so you could see like the equalizer, all the different channels like bouncing around on the LCD display on the front. And we had loads of fun just hanging out and chatting and playing this game. And this spawned a bit of a meme on my channel, which people who've been with me for a long time will be instantly familiar with. And you know what I'm going to say. So I don't remember the name of the level. Like I say, I'm not a Star Wars guy, but there's a level that's like full of sewage. And for the benefit of the YouTube viewers, I am showing the actual footage on screen now. You basically wandering around these sewers, and you go around forever, and there's like four gates that you can open with this switch near the beginning. So you set it to one of four different positions, and then you can take one of four different routes, and they kind of loop back around, and there's different bits that you collect. And I couldn't for the life of me work out or remember where on earth I was supposed to go. And I was going round and round. And of course, I was chatting to people and we were just kind of hanging out. And the gameplay is kind of secondary to that. But I just ended up wading through this knee-deep stormtrooper poop for about an hour before I just gave up. I didn't even bother finishing the level. And that was my experience of streaming Dark Forces, which, of course, was hilarious. And I'm sure a few of you who've been with me, like I say, if you've been with me for a long time, I'm sure you'll remember it quite fondly, because it was quite hilarious. Obviously, it was, this was 3 years ago. Stuff going on in the world meant that, we were limited on our options for entertainment at the time. So I think that's probably worth bearing in mind. But yeah, really, really cool live stream that. I really enjoyed it. And the reason I'm talking about this, of course, is because there is a remastered version of Dark Forces coming out very soon. In fact, I say very soon, it's actually next week. It's on the 28th of February. And this is done by Night Dive. And if you know anything about me and about my channel and about my gaming preferences, you know that I'm a big fan of their work. Of course, MVG, if you're familiar with that channel. He worked for Night Dive. He was their lead developer for quite a while. He's now left, and the company was also acquired by Atari last year, which was quite a bizarre and random move, but on brand, I guess. And they announced this remaster, and they've remastered not only the game itself, running in a new updated engine, nice new modern controls and stuff. Still very much the original look and feel, that kind of slightly wonky up and down as you move the view up and down, things scaling in a slightly odd and slightly wonky way, which was very much a hallmark of those early first-person shooters that give you the option to do that. Hopefully it's still got MIDI device support, so I can hook it up to my Roland Sound Canvas and enjoy all of that. And it looks like they've upscaled all of the cutscenes and things. There's like a whole story in this. There's like these animated cutscenes, and it's all Star Wars-y. I have no idea what's going on. It's all related to the original story and whatever else. But some really cool weapons, really cool enemies, really, really sort of complex and very clever sort of level design in this as well. And then the Stormtrooper poop thing. So I've been looking forward to this. It's been one of my favourite games since I was a kid. And I think I keep talking about doing live streams again. That's part of the reason I'm kind of testing all of this setup, and part of the reason I built all of this is to kind of get back into live streaming again. So I think this might be it. This might be it, boys and girls. When this comes out next week, perhaps we might have to do some live streams with it. Obviously, running on modern hardware. If I can hook up my Roland Sound Canvas and it's supported in the game, and I have a USB to MIDI interface somewhere. I'm not quite sure where it is, but I'm sure I can dig it out. Maybe we could do that. Does that sound good? Let's do some more live streams. Some Dark Forces. Might have to consult a walkthrough as we go, so I don't end up stuck on one level for hours, because times have changed and people have different expectations from their gaming streamers in these post-COVID times. But very much looking forward to that. Great game, really, really great game. Really looking forward to it. Night Dive, love their Quake remaster, Quake 2 remaster, and Doom 64, all the other stuff they've done. Played them all to death, love them. Very much looking forward to this. There we go. Hopefully, an opportunity to get back into one of my favourite games. Now, I'm well aware that some of you are here for the Atari news, and I very much appreciate it, and I am also very much here for it. Night Dive, of course, being owned by Atari, so I guess that counts as a bit of Atari news, actually. But there was another really big development this week, and another acquisition, I suppose we could call it, speaking of Atari and acquisitions. Well, this one's more of an acquisition of a person, otherwise known as a hiring, and perhaps I should have led with that. But anyway, yes, this is the news that Tim Lapadino, I think I'm saying that right, is now working for Atari as their creative director. Now, if you're not familiar with Tim's work, and I was going to bring it in with me today, and I forgot, so sorry about that. It's at home on my bookshelf, but he did an amazing book called Art of Atari, and I've just discovered that it actually has a really cool website as well, a really cool kind of interactive website. And one thing that Atari were kind of really known for back in the day was was their artwork, their kind of creative side of things. Obviously, their arcade division, you've got the really awesome artwork on the side of the cabinets and the marquees and stuff, really sort of eye-catching, brilliant designs, very much of their time and really, really sort of iconic stuff. And also their game box art, cartridge label art, their manuals, everything all kind of tied in. And it obviously evolved as time went on. And there's different kind of visual eras of Atari and different kind of design languages that they used. And it's really fascinating. And Tim wrote a book called Art. I say wrote it. It's very much kind of a visual book, although there is a lot of writing in there as well. But he put together this book called Art of Atari a few years back. And it's very much has pride of place on my bookshelf. It's got really nice, big, full page, full colour reproductions of some of those really kind of iconic pieces over Atari's history. And yeah, he has done some other stuff as well. I will leave it to you, the viewer slash listener, to go and investigate that because I didn't get around to it. But yeah, he is working for Atari now as their creative director. Is that good news? Is that bad news? I'm still kind of on the fence about this modern kind of incarnation of Atari, but they do seem to be making some good moves. So yeah, interesting stuff. And this guy really knows his stuff. I mean, he's a really talented kind of graphic artist and graphic designer in his own right. Obviously has an eye for these things and very, very much passionate about the history of the company. So I couldn't think of a better person for the job, to be honest. Really, really sort of a really good hiring on their part. And of course, he goes over all of this over on Twitter, where he's announced his hiring by the company. So yeah, interesting stuff. I just wanted to kind of acknowledge that. I'm not quite sure where it's going to go. Of course, very early days yet. But I was actually impressed with the 2600 Plus packaging. I think that's really nice. It's clean and modern and kind of a bit of a shout back to their history without sort of directly aping anything sort of in any specific era from their history. I thought that was really nice. Same with the VCS packaging. Obviously, yeah, a bit less keen on the actual console itself. But yeah, you know, Atari were already making some quite good moves in that direction. And I think this hiring of Tim Lapadino is only going to improve things in that regard even more. So yeah, hopefully some good news. So while we're on a roll, it is time for my regular feature, Video of the Week. And I promised last week that I would bring a kazoo in and play the theme tune for Video of the Week. And then I realised there was a slight problem as I was heading over here this morning to sit down and record this. I realised there's quite a major problem in that respect. I don't actually own a kazoo. Yeah, it's something I need to buy. So apologies for that. But we'll do the big fanfare and the big unveiling of the new theme tune next week. Or maybe we'll never do it. Maybe we'll keep it between us and just kind of shovel it under the rug and just forget I ever said anything. Anyway, video of the week. And this was sent to me by a friend of mine. I had absolutely no idea that this was even a thing. And I got this message on WhatsApp and I was like, what on earth is this? But it's very relevant to my interests in multiple categories. Of course, I am talking about Boo Hiss, the Eurovision Song Contest. Now, I've been watching Eurovision for years because it's just cheesy and awful, and it's just entertaining viewing. You know, you don't want to take it too seriously. We have the presenters that we have here in the UK are generally a bit sarcastic. Started by the fantastic Terry Wogan, of course, back in the day, and then Graham Norton took over, and now it's the guy from Radio One. Is it Greg James or is it the other one that I always get him confused with? Anyway, Finland are our topic of interest for this week. I'm just being distracted by the video here. And of course, Finland, perhaps most famous for Lordi a few years back. I was absolutely convinced that they were going to win. I went onto the online betting sites and they were giving them odds of like 14 to 1. I was a poor student at the time, so I didn't have any money to spare, so I didn't. And yeah, they won, even though they were the underdogs and you know, their particular genre of goblin death metal didn't really fit in with the traditional Eurovision model. But yeah, if I was a betting man, I would have made a lot of money from that. But yeah, their entry this year, and they are known for their interesting entries, is a chap calling himself Windows 95 Man. Yes, styled after Microsoft's operating system from 1995, of course. He has a Windows 95 t-shirt with the logo on it. He has a hat with the Windows 95 logo on it. And he's basically not really wearing much else. He's got socks and sandals. And he's got these flesh-coloured pants. Now, I'm a bit confused as to how this works, because there's the Windows 95 man, who is wearing his branded Microsoft getup and in his pants, prancing around the stage. And there's another guy in this really weird kind of denim ensemble. I mean, there's double denim, there's triple denim, there's quadruple denim, and then there's whatever the hell this guy's wearing. Who knows? So yeah, I guess Windows 95 man is the man with the Windows 95 stuff. I don't really know. I don't understand who's who here. I don't know what the hell's going on. This is madness. And this is one of the reasons I like Eurovision. Yes, it's cheesy. Yes, it's awful. I get all of that. Yes, it's political sometimes, even though it tries not to be, or at least claims not to be. But you've got to check this out. I'm just kind of watching his live performance from the final, or from the Finland final here. He's just donned a pair of denim jorts, and he's shooting fireworks out of his jorts, or out of hoses attached to his jorts. He has like quite a splendid ponytail / mullet, and I don't know what the hell's going on. Please, somebody give me some answers. But I couldn't not make this the video of the week, because it's just absolute madness. And of course, there is a retro computing connection with the whole Windows 95 thing as well. As for the song itself, the jury's out on that one. I'll link to it in the usual places. Oh, the sandwich van's just arrived. I'll link to it in the usual places, and you can go and give that a watch and a listen and make up your own mind. And there we go. That's it for this week's ramble. Thank you ever so much for joining me. It's been a pleasure as always. Had a lot of fun putting this one together. I think I'm feeling particularly awake today after all that fitness this morning. A nice, nice broad mixture of stuff this week, and long may it continue. Thank you ever so much for all of the people who've given me feedback, and Adam for that email. Definitely taking that on board, and I'm going to be making some tweaks to the format. I think this week is kind of the start of that, although I already had a list of stuff that I wanted to do. So, not a proper start, but really cool. Really enjoyed that one, and I hope you did too, and I hope that comes through. So thank you ever so much for listening. Enjoy the rest of your weekend. Thank you for joining me, and that's all I have. So, bye.